Merry Christmas. Speaking of blessings and gifts, I think this church has one of the greatest gifts in our musical director, and we are blessed to have her, and I think she deserves a little bit more recognition. We shout it, she plays it. It don't get no better than that. Lord, first of all, we thank you for the gift of your son today on the day of his birth. Your gift to us is a gift of love. Knowing that all things come from you and through you, we thank you for the gifts we have received this season and ask that you bless them. Bless them that we may think of these gifts as gifts of love from you and from the people we receive them from. Next, we ask your blessing on the gifts we give to others. We ask that they may be a reminder to those we have given to, that they also may be gifts of love from us, as well as gifts of love from you. Help us to remember throughout the year feelings we have today, that we may continue that feeling year-round. Help us to remember that one of the greatest gifts that we can give or that we can receive is the gift of time. Time spent with family, time spent with friends, and most of all, time spent with you. We thank you for all these blessings in your son's name. Good and gracious God, God who created the heavens and earth, all men and women in your image, and all the wonders in nature, we bring you praise and glory. It is through your grace that gives us hope, and through your love that gives us strength. Our lives are filled with admiration at your wonders and thankful for your love. As we continue through the holiday season on this day of the birth of your son, we know that your love continues for us and your love is always there for us. We look forward to the new year with great anticipation, eager to feel your love, eager to share your love with others, and confident that by living the way Jesus wants us to live, we'll help fill our lives with joy. We pray for the people that need you the most, those that don't yet know that they need you. It's up to us to help them find your way, to know your love, and to know that you are with us and them every step of the way. To know that even when things seem at their worst, we can turn to you and know that you are there. Bless our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, national, state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear that the decisions they make today may be the best for all of us. We also give thanks and ask blessings on those in the service industry that need to continue to work in spite of the holiday season. The police, fire department, hospital workers, first responders, and all those that need to work and help to make our lives better. Now in this time of silent meditation, we share with you our concerns, our thoughts, our needs, as well as our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. Now, Lord, we share the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our reading this morning will be from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for us, the people of God.
Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Through Advent and on Christmas Eve night, we have been following a series that rose out of a study that about 100 people in our congregation were part of. It was called Sent by Jorge Acevedo, and it was a study about how Jesus was sent to us, and we are sent out into the world. So along the way, we talked about how Jesus brings reconciliation. Jesus sets us free. Jesus is God with us. Jesus brings new life. And last night we talked about Jesus bringing hope. I just want to say today that Jesus changes everything. If you're interested in any of those topics, you can go to our website and find our podcast, and you can go back and listen to those sermons. But for this morning, I just want to take a brief moment to talk about the miracle of Jesus changing everything. So where I want to start is with the probability of our existence. How is it that we were born in a particular time and a particular place? Have you ever thought about the probability or the odds against such a thing happening? There was a scientist who tried to calculate this, and because it's not only the probability of our parents, but it's their parents and their parents and their parents. And so what he did, and I have no idea what kind of formula you would use for such a thing, but he calculated the probability of our parents meeting and having a child, and then included in that their parents meeting and having a child, and all of those parents before them meeting to have a child. And this is what they came up with. It would be as if 2 million people got together. That would be about half of the Detroit metro area. Okay, so 2 million people got together, and each of them threw a trillion-sided dice. Die, okay? So, and they all came up the same number. Okay, so what we're talking about, possible, but extremely improbable, that we would be born as we are in a particular time and a particular place. I think it is amazing to think that that has happened to us. And I truly believe it is by the grace of God. Now, for some of you, you may look at the fashions of yesterday or technology or some mythological understanding that it was peace, more peaceful at a different day and age, and say, I was born in the wrong era. Some of you may look into futuristic movies and all of the technology that we imagine will be developed and say, I was born in the wrong time. I meant for the future. But the truth is that it is a miracle that each of us are in this place and in this time, and it is by the grace of God. Now, consider the same odds for Jesus. You see, Jesus was, as the Gospel of John tells us, in the beginning, the Word, the spoken Word of God. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God from the very beginning. There was no time where God said, well, let me just kind of whip up another part of me. Jesus was always there as part of that Holy Trinity with the Holy Spirit. And so God chose a particular time and a particular place. Now, Bible scholars and Christian theologians have through the ages tried to answer the question, why in this little town a few miles from this little capital city in this little tiny country that was dominated by Rome with all of the other places, and why in that century? Why not 1,000 years earlier or 1,000 years later or even today? And there may be some reasons. We need to talk about the Greek language, which was a kind of a universal communication of trade, and so it allowed the good news of Jesus Christ to spread to areas that may not have happened if people were more isolated. We can talk about the Roman road system, which was pretty remarkable and allowed evangelists to move out and give the good news, perhaps. But for some reason, God chose that time to bring light into the world. I like to think that maybe the reason is because of light itself. Today, it's very hard for us to find a place where we can see vast sweep of stars in the heavens. We call it light pollution, right? But it's the light that we produce through the night that blocks out the stars. And I know here in Michigan, there are a few places which are parks that are set up so that people can go and see what people saw years ago, the full night sky. Can you imagine the darkness that enveloped the cities in the time of Jesus? When people talked about darkness, they knew real darkness, a kind of darkness that could only be lit by the heavens. And so when they talked about a light coming, encroaching in, pushing in and pushing out the darkness, it was real. It was palpable. Today, we talk more about light and dark as symbols rather than as something that we really experience. And I wonder if in those early days, as the existence, the living truth of Jesus Christ was proclaimed, if perhaps that darkness was something that people wanted to end, to find some ease to, and they understood the deep light. Jesus came at the right time and at the right place, so that we would understand a light that cannot be overcome by the darkness. Now, I know that this is a season of remembering and a season of honoring and a season of being with family. And we might even say that we are created for this time, this moment, right here and right now. To be present for family and friends, for neighbors and co-workers, for those who need our presence. We may be people who today rest from our labors, and we may be people who anticipate labors that will go on. We may live a life that is settled and full of contentment, or we may have a restless heart, or one that struggles with regret and resentment and brokenness. But we are in the right place, even in this moment, because we sit here and honor Christ the King who has come to be with us. Imagine the love that we have for our families. and gathering with them. For those that we remember, my mom has a leather strap with these big jingle bells on it. They're tarnished and old, and she hangs it from a doorknob on the back door, and it's the jingle bell that my dad used when he played Santa Claus. He died in 1985. And when people go in and out of my mom's door all through Advent and the Christmas season, I hear those bells that my father rang. And I remember. Perhaps you have someone that you're remembering in this season. Parents, and the delight that they worked to give you whatever means they had when they were raising you. Children, and the delight that you had in watching your children open gifts, and that delight that you had in them getting you up at 5:30 on Christmas Day. And you're remembering Christmases past. Or perhaps you're leaning into family now. My mom will turn 80 in February, and I'm just feeling I need to be with her more and to honor her and to care for her. And you may have those people that you want to be closer to. I have a niece who is 5, and she'll be opening a gift from us today, and I want to make sure that I experience all of that childhood delight from this wonderful little girl, the last, I'm sure, of my nieces and nephews to come. Perhaps you're anticipating or have enjoyed the presence of people. It is a time when we feel a kind of love that just makes our chests ache. Imagine that God loves us even more than that. That he would do what it takes to care for us, to lift us up, to honor us, to make us whole, even send his son into a difficult ministry and even to the cross, did what it took so that we would know salvation. Jesus comes, and it changes not only the world, but it changes our worlds as well. And we this morning have the opportunity not only to celebrate Jesus' birth, but on this day, as the Gospel of John says, we have the opportunity to celebrate that we are born anew and that we are raised up through Jesus Christ. In John 1:14, John says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came as a truth teller to open up the dark spaces even in our lives. Jesus came in grace that we might know unconditional love. Our purpose is simply to live it, to believe it, that Jesus has come and we have been changed and made new. It is God's gift for us this day and every day that we might reflect that love in truth and grace. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, bless now. Bless now our new lives. Lives shaped and changed by you. Let us, Lord, be celebrating today not only memories, not only family, not only gifts given and received, but that we might celebrate the greatest gift, Lord, and live with you in hope and joy and peace. Amen.